Wonderful, wonderful singing. Singing it to the Lord and praising his name, I'm sure that he is very, very well pleased with our hearts this morning. We come now to the midway point and just beyond as we add the next fruit of the Spirit. Very appropriately, it is on a peach that is kindness. Oftentimes we talk about a person that's very kind as being a peach of a person. So maybe we could kind of think along those lines as we discuss today the topic of kindness. Back during the Korean War, there was a chaplain who once came upon a very severely wounded soldier in the field. And he came up to him with his Bible in hand and asked this wounded soldier, "Could I read some scripture to you?" And the soldier responded, "I am very thirsty. I would love to have some water." So the chaplain went, got a cup, filled it up, brought it to him, and gave the soldier a drink. And then the soldier said, "My neck is hurting." So the chaplain immediately took his carrying bag and placed it gently behind the soldier's neck. And then the soldier said this. He said, "I'm very, very cold." And so then the chaplain took his coat off and draped it over this wounded soldier. And then the soldier said this, "Now, if you have anything that you would like to read from that book of yours, I would listen to it." The power of kindness. There's a book that has been written in recent years by a pastor in Cincinnati called The Conspiracy of Kindness, and it's about evangelism. And evangelism begins when we reach out to people, showing them kindness. You've heard many, many times the famous saying by Chrysostom, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." It's something that we all need to be reminded of, that people will listen best after showing kindness to them. When you read the scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and then we'll pray. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Heavenly Father, we come to you asking that we would consider our own life, whether we are showing kindness to others in an evangelism way. Because the gospel is the good news, and we live among people that need good news, especially the good news that Christ has died for them. We pray that your favor would be upon us as individuals, but corporately as a church, that we would be known in the community to reach out beyond the walls into the lives of people and to show kindness to them. We pray, Father, that we'll realize that this can't happen of our own selves, but it can only happen through the Spirit, enabling, empowering, and giving to us the kindness of Christ. Over these next minutes, may we learn what it means to be a kind person. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. I want to first begin by giving a definition or an appraisal of this word that is found in this text for kindness. But first, I want you to notice a couple of things. One is the goodness that follows kindness. But as I've mentioned, all of these are connected, and I'll kind of share a little more about that in just a moment. But for right now, what is the difference between kindness and goodness? Jerry Bridges writes this in his book, The Fruitful Life. He says, "Kindness and goodness are so closely related that they're often used interchangeably. And I can verify that by looking at words of similar nature throughout the New Testament, and they really are. They're used in that relationship. Then he goes on to say, kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. Goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. So if we could take this week's message and next week's message and blend them together, they make a perfect 1-2 punch for reaching out to those that don't know Christ as Savior. Now, the word that Paul was led to select for the fruit of the Spirit, called kindness, is only used 10 times in the New Testament. By contrast, the word that is chosen for goodness, and we're familiar with that word because of the lady's name, Agatha. Agathos is the word. It is used, by contrast, over 100 times, very frequently used. I think the difference is that kindness is to be benevolent, whereas goodness is to act benevolent. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, and let me just kind of do this with the word kindness. How could a person be kind without love? How could a person be kind without being long-tempered? How could a person show kindness if there's no joy? And we could go through each of these fruit in a similar fashion and realize that they're singular in nature, fruit of the Spirit, and that each of these draw us together to see the combination. Let me just put it like this. Kindness is to be where goodness is to act. Kindness is the character. Goodness is the conduct. Kindness is the disposition, and goodness is the deportment. In other words, kindness is who you are. Goodness is what you do. Even though Paul used a different word in Philippians chapter 4, I think this verse would do us all well to keep in mind in all spheres of life, not just reaching out to unbelievers. He said, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." And we'll see this in a number of ways as we bring it down to an application level at the end of the message. Kenneth Wiest, a longtime teacher at the Moody Bible Institute, has a phrase that he uses in translating Philippians 4, verse 5. And it's this. It's one of those things that I've never been able to forget. He says, "Let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men." And that captures the thought of kindness, being one who reaches out. In the Old Testament, there is a verse that is often quoted and memorized that captures an aspiration, a strong desire to be kind. Let me read the verse to you. From Micah 6:8, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice," and listen to this, "to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." If there's one thing that we could all walk away from today, is to aspire, adore, to love, to be kind toward others. Some examples here would be very helpful. David Livingston, the missionary that went to Africa and spent his life and was buried there, gave his life to help others. There was one phrase that he was known by. He was known as the kind doctor. Probably everybody in this room at some point in their medical life has come across an unkind doctor. One of those for us was the surgeon that operated on our son's heart when he was 17 months of age. You know, it's interesting, it's been 30 years, but I still remember his name. Milton Weinberg. The nurses, we just felt so sorry for them, and we, even though we were dealing with a son that was having the surgery and stuff, we would always try to do kind things to the staff because, man, he was rough. I mean, now he was good. Our son was able to go on in life and play sports, and at age 18, we were recommended to give a test to make sure, and it kind of concerned me when I took him to get this test, but they actually kind of blow bubbles to find out if that patch completely covered the hole. And the report came back that it was still good. So the quality was there, but the gentleness and the kindness, he was pretty rough. And we've come across those kind of people, and we would rather have the kind doctor. Or take, for example, what Abraham Lincoln said just a month or so before he was shot. It's remarkable when you think about these words that he spoke in his second inaugural address, to have malice toward none and charity for all. He was trying to bring the civil war that had divided the nation to a close. And yet the hatred was still there enough that one man rose up and took his life. Just a few months ago, with great ceremony, George H.W. Bush was laid to rest. If there was one phrase that he was known by, it was this: he sought a kinder, gentler nation. Could we ever use that today? We need coaches that are kind. I can tell you a number of stories. In fact, one is a kid that was in my last long-term church that's now a Division II basketball coach. In fact, last year made National Coach of the Year in that division. And he shared with me many times coaches in which he learned how not to do it because of unkind coaches. As an employee, as a parent, and even as a pastor. In recent days, a very famous pastor was fired. We could use other words: bully, dictator. But the bottom line is he did not have the fruit of the Spirit called kindness. What does it look like when there's no kindness? Well, we've read through this passage enough times that I think I can pass by, but if you would just glance in the scriptures from verse 19 through 21, there's a lot of examples of the absence of kindness. We have this phrase called random acts of kindness. I know a church up in Saginaw, Michigan, every year at Christmas, they raise this really big offering, and then they figure out how much to divvy out to people, and they give it to the people, and they say, now go and find somebody at Walmart or in line at a restaurant or behind somebody at a store and just do something nice for them. Or put some money on the windshield wiper of a car and just leave a little note: God bless you. Random acts of kindness. Unfortunately, and I appreciated Jim's prayer, that we just live in a country that is just full of hatred. And I'd like to see that be different. But instead, we've got these random acts of violence. You can't go to a movie. You can't go to a concert. You can't go to any sporting event without the thought that perhaps there'll be this random act of violence. If I were to throw out the name Candace Payne, raise your hand if you know who this lady is. There's one, Anyone else? Now, if I threw out the name Jossie Smollett, would you raise your hand if you know who he is? A lot more hands. Isn't it interesting that more people know the name of Jossie Smollett than Candace Payne? Candace Payne, during the polar vortex that we experienced here in Ohio, in the city of Chicago, when it was 25 below and 26 below on consecutive nights, with her own money, rented out 72 rooms for 130 people that were homeless to have a place of warmth. On top of that, she fed them. One of the neat things that came out of this is Walmart gave $50,000 to her. She, in return, has put the $50,000 into a nonprofit homeless shelter. And yet in this room, one person raised their hand that they know who Candace Payne is. In the same city, during the same polar vortex, another man allegedly, probably we could say reportedly, the Chicago police are thoroughly convinced that a hoax was displayed that exasperated what already existed with the racial and political hatred. Kindness is so needed. When we read the Bible, we see the need for kindness. When we read strife or contention in this passage, I think of those two ladies in Philippians 4. Now, we don't know if they were not speaking. We don't know if they were throwing barbs at each other. But either way, there was strife, there was tension between these two ladies, and Paul asked for this yoke fellow, this companion, to come in and to try to bring some kindness to the situation. Or in 3 John, you have this individual, Diotrephes, this autocratic, dictatorial leader. And in that day, when traveling missionaries or ministers came to communities, the local fellowship was expected to house them, and this man blocked their way and blocked those who wanted to try to house them. And John called him out for his unkind hospitality. Or take the story of Joseph and his brothers, the jealousy that caused them to do an unkind revenge against their younger brother. You talk about a random act of violence to do what they did to him. In the church of Corinth, we see the biting and devouring. The letter opens with a list of names such as Paul and Peter and Apollos, and the congregation was picking sides. And there was division in the church. That's what happens when there's unkindness. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, though a different word, we can gather the power that comes from a gentle spirit, a kind spirit. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. The wording here is from the medical field, that of setting a bone that has been broken. Would you rather have a doctor that just kind of comes in and rams their way, or one that is very kind and prepares and soothes and even medicates so that it won't hurt as they reset the bone? That's the thought. kindness really would solve the tension that we have in our country today. Kindness would solve tensions that happen at workplace. Just a few weeks ago, there was a shooting in Chicago at the workplace. Kindness would solve tensions between ethnic groups. When William Penn was granted land in the New World by King Charles II, the king gave to him the power and authority to make war against the Indians. I've done considerable reading about early American church history, and my heart goes out to the American Indians. We, the European stock, terribly mistreated the American Indians. William Penn, being a Quaker, was not wired that way. There were no forts. There were no soldiers. And any time there was a dispute between the Indians and the American white men, they brought together a jury. Six Indians, six white men, and they always worked it out. After William Penn died, the Indians mourned. And in time, there were more non-Quakers than Quakers, and eventually forts were built. What do you think the Indians did? They attacked the forts. You see, each of us have the ability to build forts that let others know, back off. I'm not interested. And we as a church body need to show the kindness to our community, to the people we live among, so that they know that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes from the heart and the love of Jesus Christ to us. And that's what I want to talk about next, the attributes of kindness. And I want to start with God. He is the example. And there's two ways in which God shows us this. First, as Savior, and second, as the Shepherd. Robert Burns said, "The heart benevolent and kind most resembles God." Half of the uses of the word that is selected for kindness in Galatians 5, half of them speak and address the salvation that God the Father provides for us. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" It's who he is. God is a kind God. The very fact that we have a number of heartbeats and a number of days and a number of weeks and a number of months and a number of years that allow us to come to the grips that Jesus died on our behalf because God so loved the world demonstrates his kindness to each of us. In that great passage, chapter 2 of Ephesians, I'll just read verse 7. But it says, "In the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So God demonstrates that love by giving of his Son. And once again, in Titus chapter 3, "But when the goodness and loving kindness," it's the same word that Paul selected in Galatians, "when his loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us." And it's all of grace by faith. But it starts with the kindness and the goodness of our Savior. But he's also a shepherd that is very kind. These are verses that do not use this particular word, but they nonetheless illustrate the gentleness and the kindness of our God as a shepherd for us. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In Isaiah 40:11, he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. God is a God of balance. We all know that he's a holy God, but he's also a loving God. We know that God has wrath toward us, and we need to be reconciled. But his kindness balances that wrath, and he reaches out to the hearts of people and desires for them to come to know him. Just last Sunday, Steve Slumbaum read the verse that I had in my notes. God's strong desire, his strong, kind desire is that all come to repentance. And then there's this verse that Jesus spoke about himself. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if he is a kind Savior, and once coming to that truth, we learn that he's a kind shepherd, I think logically we would come to the conclusion that that's what he wants for us to be as well, to be kind people. So let me give some exhortations. These are six ways in which we can demonstrate kindness. Number one is our very character. These are very short words and are only three. Love is kind. It's the same word. We are expected to be benevolent. Love is kind. The same word is used in Colossians 3:12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness. We are to clothe ourselves with kindness. And once again in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There you see that logic. He is kind. And it's very similar to what is said, because he first loved us, then we consequently love others. It all begins with God, but it is transferred to us. And only by the power of God's Spirit can we say that we are kind toward others. It has its way also of finding root in our home life. Let me just preface this. I'm going to talk to the ladies for a moment. And ladies, don't throw songbooks at me until I get finished, because I'm going to come at the guys, your husbands, at the conclusion of my remarks. But let me just preface it by reminding you of something that I shared in the genealogy series for Christmas, the broken people. And we went all the way back to Adam and Eve. And there were a number of curses, a number of consequences that come from the fall. And one of the consequences of the fall is this overwhelming, by sinful nature, desire to want to control men. We can ignore it, but it's true. You didn't have to be taught that. You just have to be born that. It's passed along because of the Adamic nature. Now, granted, men have their own issues. But when we want to talk about issues, that is the issue that causes conflict in a marriage. So let me read a couple verses to you that help us to see how we overcome that. In Titus 2:5, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind. Now, the word for kind here is agathos. So we're talking about not just being kind, but we're talking about doing kind, being good. And then it says, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. We would never think of blaspheming verbally the name of God. But we will, as ladies, blaspheme God by the way we rise up and try to dominate and control men. Another verse that also addresses this same issue is 1 Peter 3:4. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. This has a thought of tranquility, of peacefulness. There's no amount of makeup. There's no amount of designer clothing you can put in your closet. You can have hundreds of pairs of high heel shoes stacked up in your closet. And you can have jewelry that would be a portfolio. And it will not overcome the lack of a gentle and quiet spirit. As a Christian woman, if you really want to know what makes you attractive, it's the humble, quiet, tranquil spirit. Now, we're not talking about being a floor mat. We're not talking about being walked over. We're absolutely not talking about being abused in any way. You come see me if there's abuse. I won't share, and there's a lot of time, but my wife can tell you, I have stood up more than one occasion, face to face, and confronted men who have been abusive to their wives. One to the point that I drew a line, I said, you cross that line, and it's over. Now, you might not like that, but I will stand up for those that abuse women. Now let's go to the men. Let's go back to what I said earlier. Love is kind. In Ephesians 5, what is the one thing that it says for men to do? Love their wives as Christ loved the church. So if love is kind, the scriptures don't just ask the woman to be kind and gentle. The scriptures ask the husband to be kind and gentle. We all fail. Whether two people have been married a month or 6 months or 50 years, there's always going to be those times when the old nature will rise up. What does it say in that Ephesians 5 passage, if we're coming back to the whole theme of evangelism? It's a picture of what Christ has done for the church, that whole relationship. If God, our Savior, is kind to us, and our shepherd is kind to us, and we're wanting to portray that in picture form, all of us, ladies and men alike, we need to be a kinder, gentler marriage, to borrow Bush's phrase. Number three, Kindness is involved in acquiring wisdom. But wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Why would gentleness get in the way of acquiring wisdom, the lack of it? Well, a person that is not kind at heart basically is at a point where they think they have arrived. Because kindness is demonstrating to others what you would like demonstrated to you. So when we seek wisdom, that is more wisdom, it helps us to grow and to develop. Number four, in discipling new Christians, Paul says, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. I was 16 years of age when I came to Christ. A lot. Capital L, capital O, capital T, a lot has changed over those years. And I'm sure you can say the same for yourself. Babies are not born into our homes knowing how to go to the bathroom and relieve themselves on their own. There's a period of time where there's patience involved and waiting for them to be aware enough. You don't hand a 9-year-old the keys to the car. Sometimes you don't hand the keys to a 16-year-old, depending on where they're at. What I'm trying to say is that new Christians, they're not hatched a full-blown rooster or a hen to lay eggs. I mean, there's growth involved. And there's patience on our part, a kindness to work with. That's what discipleship is helping them to grow in their faith. And then fifthly, reaching out to unbelievers. Paul uses this phrase in 2 Timothy, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Being argumentative, and let me just pause, and I'll probably say some more about this on some others. Let me just say it kind of in a humorous way, and then I'll come to the serious point. About 3-4 years ago, I finally got on Facebook. I really evaluated that, and I have some personal guidelines. And I've commented to my wife, I said, you know, if I could develop a patent for a training course, just like you have to go through driver's ed, you'd have to go through Facebook ed, and I would patent this, and then I could get Jim Jordan or somebody else in Congress to pass a law, you cannot go on Facebook until you go through Facebook ed. I would be rich. Brothers and sisters, we see unkindness not just in Chicago. We see unkindness not just in Washington, D.C., in Congress. We don't see unkindness just in those kind of places. We see it in social media as well. Let me just conclude by saying this. I could spend 24/7 arguing with idiots on Facebook. Let's not be one of them. Let's be kind and respectful and stand for truth. I'll let you know when I finish my course. And if you could be the beta group. I could test that out on you. But seriously, even there, we are being watched. And an unkind Christian is not very attractive to the unbeliever. In 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And lastly, kindness helps unity within a church body. I've seen it many times at the first interim that I served in Frankenmuth. The leadership did everything textbook to blow up a church. About a month after they fired the pastor, who had been there 20 years, he deserved it. But the way they did it lacked a lot. About a month after that, and of course that was long before I arrived, they had a church meeting where it got pretty ugly. What was really needed was the kindness and the gentleness, as opposed to things being thrown at one another. And it takes a lot of hard work. Paul said in Ephesians 4, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager. That word eager means to make haste. Make haste to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Sometimes all that is needed is the gasoline of a few words to escalate something that would de-escalate otherwise. I've tried to utilize an example, a good illustration throughout this series of a Bible character that exemplified kindness. For that, I'd invite you to turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. David had a very, very special bond with Jonathan. The interesting thing about this relationship is that David and Jonathan's dad, Saul, did not have a good relationship. Saul tried numerous times to take David out because he felt threatened. But Jonathan was very loving, and they had this great relationship. And we read this in verse 1. David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul? And I want you to notice that. He could have left out Saul, because he says further, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. So even though there was the bad relationship, he still included the house of Saul. We drop down through the passage and we find that there's a child in his youth had been crippled, Mephibosheth. And in verse 7, David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Now, what I really, really like, and I want to kind of use this phrase to help us think in terms of being kind to others. Jump down to verse 13. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. The whole context of being kind to fellow Christians, being kind to unbelievers that we know, is to get them to come to the king's table, to fellowship, to eat. Notice also the lameness in both his feet. Do you realize we are all handicapped, disabled, all of us? We all have our flaws. And what is it that speaks to the heart of a person in need? Kindness is a language that the blind can see and the deaf can hear. Henry Martin was a missionary to the Brahmins in India. He only lived to be 31 years of age, yet is one of the most revered of the missionaries. And here's what he said. This also I learned, that the power of gentleness is irresistible. What he means by that, and what the Holy Spirit means by all the passages, the power of gentleness is irresistible to your marriage mate. The power of gentleness and kindness is irresistible to your fellow member. The power of kindness is irresistible to that person that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. As I said earlier, I'll remind you, the bookmarks will be available out in the foyer. Please take one and incorporate it into your life. But this time I'd like to ask you to please stand as we share this wonderful prayer together. As you stand, I'm going to ask you to please, though the prayer is on the screen, I'm going to ask you to please bow your head and close your eyes. I have selected someone to read this prayer for us, and I'm quite sure you'll recognize the voice and you'll know who that person is. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen.
Amen.